this opportunity to speak over here. This is a joint work with my supervisor, Jane Heffernan, New York University. And I am going to this short introduction to this. Actually, we all are aware about the first pandemic in H1N1 pandemic that is held in 2009. And the one common characteristic of every influenza pandemic is that multiple waves of morbidity and mortality over a few months or years. Though the reason behind this multiple waves still not understood, but the size of these successive waves actually depend on the control strategies like vaccination, especially vaccination and antiviral drugs, because these are the most effective control measures for the containment of a pandemic. And also this size depends on the effects of immunity from the prior infection in a population, because when for the influenza pandemic, the circulating strain is mutating among the population. But different countries adopt different control policies depending on their economic status and how much antiviral drugs or vaccine they could purchase from others. So our objective is to find out to what extent are these control strategies effective in protecting population from severe infection. So this is a picture of past pandemic waves. The first one is 1889 to 1889. I don't know very detail about it. The second one is the famous Spanish flu, 1989. The third one is held in 1957-1963, and the fourth one is 1960s. So the fact to note that all the pandemics have multiple waves. First three, the second one has two or three, and the third one three, and the first one is also. And this is a picture for H1N1 pandemic, though the multiple waves are not very clear because this picture is global and the first pictures are local. That is, the spaces are indicated. First one is London, this is our local picture, but this one is global. And this is the antiviral stockpiles, stockpile size and number of vaccine doses. Here I have shown some stockpile size of few countries, like Canada had the stockpile of antiviral drugs to cover 25% population to treat, and number of vaccine doses were 50.4, but all the data are from last pandemic, and the vaccine uptake was to cover 40% population. So here you see that the depending on the resources of the country, the control strategies vary greatly. So in this, to make the model, we consider here two waves, first wave and second wave. So for the first wave, we have considered the whole population is susceptible because this is very new to the this is the naive population to the new strain of pandemic. And from this susceptible population, it gives rise to the exposed due to the force of infection, capital lambda, from which we get two infected population. One is asymptomatic classes, another one is symptomatic classes, where P is the probability of getting symptoms. Now, we considered the treatment antiviral. For the first wave, we considered only treatment, no vaccine or no immunity from the prior infection. In this asymptomatic infected class, we go to the treatment, and this infected class. we already know that for the efficacy of antiviral treatment, the treatment should be start within 48 hours of the onset of symptoms. And on the other hand, early initiation of treatment gives the better result. That if you fit early in this with the window of opportunity, that is 48 hours, we give it in 2 days. So it will give you the length of illness will be shortened. So using this fact, I divide the 48 hours, that is window of opportunity, when the treatment is applied in two phases. That is early WOP, that is day 1, and late WOP, that is day 2. For the day 1, the dynamics is given by this equation, partial differential equation, where small u1ta gives the density of infected, untreated individuals of at infection age A and at current time t, and small it1ta gives the density of treated infected at the current at the infection age A and current time t, and with respect to the boundary conditions, these two. And so this is the dynamics. And after day 1, we get one new two new class, that is one capital IT1. This is the infected treated class after day 1, and capital IU1, there's a total infected class who remain untreated after day 1. Again, this IU1 class will go into the treatment on day 2. And the dynamics is given by this equation, similarly, IU2 and IT2TA, with respect to the boundary conditions, and we will get the two new classes, this IU2 and capital IT2, that is the treated class after day 2, the totally infected treated class, and the untreated class who remain, and the infected class who remain untreated after day 2. So for the day 1, we consider the treatment R1A, which is increasing and reaches to the maximum level at Rmax. And for the second day, we consider the rate of treatment R2A, which is decreasing from the maximum level. And after day 2, that is beyond WOP, there is no treatment. And lastly, we get from the due to the status of infection, that is asymptomatic or symptomatic, and the status of treatment, that is day 1, day 2, or not treated, we get 4 different recovered class, that is R1, R2, R3, R4, who have acquired different level of immunity. Here we have considered, this is the profile of treatment 1, first one, and this is the profile of treatment 2, where we considered that the first day the treatment is increasing, and the second day treatment levels at maximum level. Actually, this depends on the resources of the country. The country who have large stockpile, amount of stockpile, then they could follow this to perform a treatment. If they have the very low level of stockpile, then they could follow this profile 3. That is, on the first day only there is the treatment, but in the second day there is no treatment. Or the fourth profile, this is the same as profile 2 or 3, but the total rate of treatment remains same as the profile 1. This is the profile 5, where the same as profile 3, but the area that is under the curve 0 to R1 A or 2A is the same as this. So with this model formulation, we get this model where capital lambda, the force of infection, is given by this equation, where the first term is the contribution of asymptomatic classes, where delta A is the relative infectiousness of asymptomatic, delta U is the delta U IUT, this is the contribution of uninfected classes, untreated classes who remain symptomatic treated, asymptomatic infected, where delta U is the relative infectiousness of IU class. And because of treatment, this force of infection, the infectivity of IT1 and IT2 is reduced by the factor delta T1 and delta T2 because of treatment. So, and these four terms, these four terms is actually after the WOP, and within the WOP, that is when treatment is considered, this two term we have get because P mu V 0 to N by 2 and N by 2 to N, where N is equal to 2. So this is a force of infection. And here we see that there is some term Q N by 2 or Q N by Q dash N by 2, where QA is given by QA and Q dash A is given by these two equations, where QA gives the probability of untreated individual, probability of infected individual who remain untreated on day 1, and QA dash gives the probability of infected individuals who remain untreated on day 2. So, from this the first model, we get this two reproduction numbers. First one is control reproduction numbers, that is when the antiviral drug is applied on the population. And the first four terms is the contribution after the WOP, and the last three terms is the contribution within the WOP. And if there is no treatment with antiviral drug, in that case, QA and Q dash A is identically equal to 1, and in that case, we get the basic reproduction ratio as 0. So, this is the result of first wave model. Considering different profile of treatment, and if there is no treatment in the first wave, we get the daily new cases. And here we see for the profile 2, when the treatment, the day two, when the level of treatment on the day 2 is maximum at the and remains at the maximum level, the disease incidence is very low. But for the profile 3, if there is no treatment on the second day, the this is just below the, if there is no treatment on the, if there is no treatment in the first wave. And the second figure shows the cumulative attack rate of different profile of treatment. The third figure shows that if R0 varies from 1.1, we already know that for H1N1 pandemic, R0 varies in the first wave 1.3 to 1.8. So I have shown that if R0 varies from 1.1 to 1.8, the cumulative attack rate varies in this way. And the fourth figure is very important. This shows the distribution of susceptible population in the beginning of the second wave, or the susceptible populations who were not infected in the first wave, and the recovered populations in the first wave who get asymptomatically infected, or symptomatically infected, or get treated or untreated. So these are the distribution of the population at the end of the first wave. Now, for the second wave model, we consider this this population as the initial susceptible population in the second wave. So for the second wave, here we have considered different susceptible classes. Q star denotes the susceptible population who were not infected at all in the first wave. Q1 denotes the susceptible population who were asymptomatic in the first wave. Q2, the symptomatic population that remain untreated in the first wave. And Q3, Q4, the treated population who were treated on the day 1 and day 2 respectively. And one new class, Q5, that is a vaccinated class, just in the beginning of second wave. And we assume that the equal proportion of the from each class is going to be vaccinated in the Q5. Here, and the infected class are P1. We divide the whole susceptible population in this way because of the acquired immunity from the previous infection, different level of acquired immunity. And the infected population in this way, this P1, that's the asymptomatic infected in the second wave, P2, symptomatic infected in the second wave, P3 and P4, who get treatment on the first day, that is early in the WOP, and P4 late in the WOP. And lastly, R is the recovered population. So with this model formulation, lastly, we get this model for the second wave, where QY denotes the susceptible, different susceptible classes. I is equal to star for the named susceptible population, and 1 to 5 that I have already shown. P1, P2, P3, P4, these four show the dynamics of the different infected classes, and R dot is a recovered classes. Now here we see that gamma I, for I is equal to star, gamma star is equal to 1, we have assumed that for susceptible population, the susceptibility is 1. Who were not infected in the first wave, the gamma star is equal to 1. And for the other susceptible population, that is gamma 1 to gamma 5, this is a reduced susceptibility due to the acquired immunity from the previous infection. And here it is not shown that we have assumed one order relation among gamma 1 to gamma 5. Similarly, this rho I, this is the probability of getting symptoms. This also depends on the immunity of the previous infection. And you have also assumed that the same relation. And sigma j, this is the reduced transmissibility of the infected population at the time of getting disease, at the onset of getting disease. But if we consider S is equal to this summation QI, I is equal to sigma PJ and R is equal to R, and if we assume gamma I is that all gamma I is equal to the same gamma, then the whole model is reduced to the simple SIR model. This is given by these equations. Here we define three types of reproduction numbers. First one gives the control reproduction numbers, that is when there is vaccination in the beginning of second wave, antiviral drug as a treatment during the infection, as well as the prior immunity from the first wave. This gives RC. The first term is the contribution of the asymptomatic individuals. Second one, from the infected individuals who were not getting treated in the second wave. And third one is the from the infected individuals who get treated early in the WOP. And second one, and the last one is the term due to the infected individuals who get treated on the late WOP. But if there is no control, there is no antiviral treatment, then we define another reproduction number, that is effective reproduction numbers. And this is this depends on the susceptible population, that is the immunity of the depends on the immunity of the susceptible population. There is rho I gamma I is present in the, and also the vaccination and at the beginning of second wave. And if there is no immunity, no control, then we get the basic reproduction number is given by this. So for one at zero, if we fix at zero, we get a different RE, effective reproduction number, because of the distribution of susceptible population. Susceptible population arises from different level of different profile of treatment. So this is some result. If there is no vaccine in the second wave, then what you get? This figure shows different profile of, here we have simulated the results both simultaneously. That is, we considered the susceptible population. We consider the six different classes which arise at the end of the first wave. That is the susceptible population who remain uninfected in the first step, and the recovered 4 population, R1, R2, R3, R4, and the vaccinated population. This susceptible population is considered to be the initial population in the second wave. And in the second wave, we consider different drug uptake doses and different level of vaccination. So for case A, if there is no drug in the first, in the second wave, and no vaccine in the second wave, then different profile of treatment. And if there is no treatment in the first wave, the first one shows that the disease incidence in all cases is very high. The second one shows that if the drug uptake is less than 5% in the second wave, then the disease incidence is reduced. And in the third, if the drug uptake is greater than 5%, then the disease incidence is again reduced. But here we notice that if there is no treatment in the first wave, this gives the lowest disease incidence and lowest cumulative attack rate in all the cases. But if there is treatment, then the profile 3 gives the minimum disease incidence and minimum cumulative attack rate in all the cases. And if we consider vaccine in the second wave, then comparing to this one, you see in all the cases the disease incidence is low, as well as the cumulative attack is also low. And the same nature is shown as a case of no vaccine. Here he also already shown that the no treatment case gives the lowest disease incidence and the cumulative attack rate. And if we apply drug less than 5%, there is a B, so this one. And if we apply drug greater than 5%, then no treatment cases actually gives zero disease incidence. But if we follow the profile 3, this gives the minimum disease incidence and also the minimum cumulative attack rate. Now, if there is some delay in vaccination, that is, to initiate vaccination, there is maybe delay for some days. If there is no delay, actually delay has no effect on the disease incidence as well as on the cumulative attack rate. This shows because there is no such important, such noticeable difference between no delay, of 10 days, initiating vaccination of 10 days, delay of 20 days, or initiating vaccination of delay 30 days or 40 days. So the first one shows if there is no drug, obviously the disease incidence is high. And B shows if there is drug uptake is less than 5%, and C shows if there is drug uptake is greater than 5%. So in all the cases, actually delay in initiating vaccination has no such important effect on the disease incidence as well as the cumulative attack rate. And this is a combined effect of antiviral and vaccine to make RC, there is a controlled reproduction number less than 1. Now we see that if we follow the treatment profile 1, when the rate of treatment is increasing on the first day, it reaches to the maximum level and decreasing the second day from the maximum level to the zero, then the antiviral treatment required is above 30%, and initial vaccine coverage is also greater than 40% to make RC less than 1. But if we follow the profile 3, then antiviral treatment drug uptake is required just approximately 25%, and initial coverage is above 40% or 50% to make RC less than 1. and this is the whole figure of cumulative infection, that is all infection, asymptomatic infection, and all type of symptomatic infection, that is treated, untreated, and the also the second one shows the clinical cases. A, B shows clinical cases, and the A shows the cumulative infection of all. And if we consider the cumulative infection of both the webs, here we see the first one shows if there is no treatment in the first wave. Second one, if there is treatment in the first wave and it follows the profile one. Third one, it shows the cumulative infection if the treatment profile follows profile two in the first wave. And the third one and fourth one is the treatment profile three in the first wave, and the last two, the treatment profile four and five. So here we see that if we follow the treatment profile three, actually if we consider the both waves at the population setting, then actually treatment profile three is the best strategy if the country has the availability of antiviral drug as well as the availability of vaccine. But if there is no vaccine or the antiviral drug availability, then no treatment, that is the first one, gives a better result. So lastly, he reached the conclusion that if drug therapy is readily available and vaccine is available in the second wave, then the treatment profile 3 in the first wave combined with vaccine and antiviral drug in the second gives the result, the less number of possible infections in the population. Though no treatment in the first wave is optimal in most cases when drug stockpile is limited, drug therapy use is low, and if vaccination is not available. And this research is actually, it gives the important implications to public health initiatives for the use to identify best population best strategies on the availability of vaccine and antivirals, and as well as the, which already obviously depends on the economic status of the country. And these results actually is at the population level. But though the best result for an individual in the population is to prevent severe infection. So our future is to weigh the benefits of the individual against population. And I must acknowledge to my supervisor, Dr. Jane Heffernan, Infectious Disease Modeling Group, York University, and for the funding, it's excellent. Thank you.